Well, hello. Once again, you found us. This is Hilltop Church, Griffith, Ontario. Pastor Steve Green speaking. And it's Easter Sunday morning. And I have to say this. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. I want to talk to you today about why the resurrection is so important. You're going to find the passage that we're looking at today in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and we're looking at verses 1 through 12. A little bit lengthy portion, but let me read that for you. I am reading from the New King James Version today. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again.'" And they remembered his words. And then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Johanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Can I pause right there? To me, it's always significant that the first people who learned that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead were women. All the people that tell you the Bible puts down women or places them in a secondary role, I don't see it. I see Jesus bringing equality, working towards that, seeking equality. Women. And who were the first to speak to Jesus? Again, women. Just a thought, just a little sidebar there. Now we're at verse 11. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself what had happened. I like this time of year. I particularly like this day, Easter Sunday. This is what we're all about. This is where we find our hope. But I like the time of year living here in this part of the Ottawa Valley, where maybe I've told you before, but when I moved here, people told me, we're not rural. And you don't live out in the country now. We're in the bush. And everywhere you look, as far as you can see, it's the bush. In just a few weeks, the bush will begin once again to blossom. Trees that have been gray with the death of winter will begin to sprout leaves. You'll know what's happening. It starts to look fuzzy, is the way my wife puts it. She likes the fuzziness of it. And you'll see the different hues of green as the leaves begin to form on the trees throughout the bush. The bush will grow ferns and foliage, green with the promise of spring. It all speaks hope to me. Hope. And that's what the resurrection's about. Martin Luther, the church reformer, was a German professor of theology, a priest, an author, composer, Augustinian monk, and an influential figure in the Reformation. And regarding the resurrection, he wrote these words: "Our Lord has written the promise of the resurrection not in books alone, but in every leaf in springtime. I love that. I love that. Hope. We all need hope. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the central fact of Christian history. On it, the church is built. And without it, there'd be no Christian church today. And now, Jesus' resurrection is unique. Other religions have their strong ethical systems, their concepts about paradise, about the afterlife. They even have their own various holy scriptures. But only Christianity has a God who became human, literally died for his people, and was raised again in power and in glory to rule over his church forever. Do you remember the passage? Do you remember back in the Gospel of John? It's what we tend to think of as more a Christmas verse. John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us." Only Christianity has a God who became human so that he might experience life just as you and I do. Same frustrations, same limitations, same challenges, same temptations. And ultimately gave his life for his people, only to be raised again in power and glory, and rules over his church forever. Friend, that's the Easter message. That's the hope. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Now, somebody out there ought to be getting excited now. We had church this morning in the parking lot with the provincial restrictions that have been set down for the month of April 2021. We could not contain our morning service within those restrictions in the sanctuary that we have. And so for first time ever, as far as I know, we set up and did a drive-in service. I told them when they were excited, they could flash their high beams or give me a few shots on their horn. Wasn't going to upset me. And at this point, several did and took me at my word and went ahead and sounded the horn. I have a sneaking suspicion my wife might have been one of the first ones. But this is the point where we get excited as Christian people. There is hope. In a world that seems dark and desperate, there is hope. And somebody ought to be out there praising God. We're talking about our Jesus. Jesus of the resurrection. That's our Jesus. That's our Savior. That's our risen Lord. And the resurrection is important, folks. You see, the remains of Muhammad, the founder of Islam, are entombed in Medina, Saudi Arabia. My pronunciation may be off a bit there. People can visit the site. His remains are still entombed there. Muslim and Hindu believers will tell you that Guru Nanak, founder of Sikhism, lies in a grave in Kartapur, Pakistan. He's still there. Gautama Buddha was cremated, and his ashes are displayed in several temples for his Buddhist followers in Kushinagar, India. We've all heard sayings that are attributed to Confucius. Well, there's a cemetery of Confucius. It's the cemetery of the Kong clan in Confucius' hometown, Kufu, in Shandong province. Again, I apologize for the pronunciation. That's in China. Confucius himself and some of his disciples are buried there, as well as many thousands of his descendants. You can see his grave there. Are you picking up on a theme here? There are religious leaders of days past who have lived their life, led their followers, taught their belief system, and died. Done. Finished. But friends, you can go to the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem. because over in Israel there is a rock-cut tomb. It was unearthed in 1867. It's considered by Protestant believers and historians to be the site of the burial and resurrection of Jesus. And guess what? You visit over there, he's not there. The tomb of our Lord Jesus Christ is empty. We have people in our own congregation here who have made the trip to Israel, have toured the Holy Land, have stood at or within the garden tomb, and can attest to the fact that it's empty. Jesus nor his remains are kept in that tomb. It tells us that this resurrection that the scriptures teach and tell us of, it's important. First, it's important because Christ was raised from the dead. And we know that the kingdom of heaven has broken into earth's history. Our world is now headed for redemption, not disaster. And God's mighty power is still at work, destroying sins, creating new lives, and preparing us for Christ's second coming. So do not get discouraged. Don't grow despondent. Don't allow the events, the circumstances, the pandemic, to serve to distract you from this glorious fact. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. That phrase was echoed in churches around the world today. Christian churches that look to Christ as the source and the focus of their hope for a life that is yet to come. Because of the resurrection, we know that death's been conquered and that we too will be raised from the dead to live forever with Christ. The scriptures tell us that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that remain will meet him in the air. Either way, we're going. Either way, he's coming back to take us to be with him in heaven. He's conquered death. By the resurrection, Christ has conquered death. Death came into the world as a result of Adam and Eve's sin. Paul explains it, the Apostle Paul, in his writings, why Adam's sin brought sin to all people, how death and sin spread to all humankind because of that first sin in the Garden of Eden. And then there's a parallel between Adam's death and Christ's death. You're going to find it in 1 Corinthians. It's chapter 15, verses 21-22. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Because of the resurrection, we know death has been conquered. The resurrection gives authority to the church's witness in the world. Look at the early church, the evangelistic sermons in the book of Acts. The apostles' most important message was the proclamation that Christ had been raised from the dead. God gave Jesus authority over heaven and earth. And based on that authority, Jesus told his disciples to go make more disciples as they preached, baptized, and taught. And with this same authority, Jesus still commands us to tell others the good news and to make them disciples for the kingdom of God. There ought to be something unique, something attractive about your life because of your walk with Jesus Christ. There ought to be something that people see, that they recognize, and that ought to give you opportunity to share with them the good news. That's what the Bible says. When you come to the end of the book of Matthew, Jesus tells his disciples, you go into all the world and preach the gospel. You go and you make disciples. You teach people how to follow the teachings and the principles, the truths of Jesus Christ. And you're to go into the whole world. You and I have a world around us. Now you might tell me, well, Steve, I've never traveled. I've lived here in this area, or I've lived in this province. A few years back, I led a missions trip to Siberia, Novokuznetsk, Siberia. Mary came along with us on that trip. Mary was excited. We were going to be working within an orphanage and within a facility that was being renovated to become a drug and alcohol rehab center. We were going to be partnering with a church in that city. Mary was a grown woman, had grown children. Mary had never been out of Ontario. Mary had never been on a jet aircraft. And here she was for her first trip, getting on an aircraft, leaving on a jet plane, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and our first stop was Moscow, Russia. Once we got the plane to Moscow, we had a layover, we waited, we had enough of a layover, we went into the city and did a little bit of sightseeing, came back and picked up a flight and went another 4 hours into Siberia to join a group of Christian believers, people who did not speak the same language that we spoke, people who did not observe the same Western customs that we observe, but people who serve the same Jesus, the same God, people with that good news in their hearts and their lives. We're to go out and make disciples. We're to go out into our world. You have a world around you, a circle of influence, a circle of acquaintance. You've got family, you've got friends, you've got work acquaintances, school acquaintances. You've got people that are neighbors on your street or on your road. There are people that see you every day and know you. They are people who need to know that there is hope and that Jesus Christ came to bring us hope. The resurrection gives meaning to the church's regular feast, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, the communion service. Different Christian churches offer this service at different points in time. In our church, within our own tradition here, it's generally the first Sunday of the month. Being as this Sunday was Easter and the focus was not on the death of Christ, but more on the resurrection of Christ, we're going to observe that communion service next week and focus our hearts and our thoughts there. The resurrection gives meaning to the Lord's Supper. Like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, after Christ had been resurrected, and he walked on the road to the next community from Jerusalem with these two men, and his identity was hidden from them. They walked with him, they talked with him, they knew Jesus pre-resurrection. But at this time, they're not recognizing him. And as they travel, he makes as if he was going to continue on the journey. And they said, no, no, don't travel on. It's late in the day. Come stay at our home tonight. Have supper with us. And they passed him the bread to give blessing over the meal and to break the bread. And as that act transpired, Scripture says their eyes were opened. There was a point of recognition. They thought, this is the same Jesus. And when they looked up, he was gone. The resurrection gives us meaning with regard to the Lord's Supper. Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke, in these last days of his life, they sit down to have the Last Supper. And he says, it's with great desire I desire to share this meal with you. Speaks to me of the humanity of Christ. He's the God-man. Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And he wanted to be with his friends. He wanted to be with those who were the nearest and dearest to him. And when we look at the suffering that he went through, the unjust trial, the accusations that were groundless, the beatings, the scourging, the ultimate death on a cross of Roman crucifixion, it places a whole new meaning on that Lord's Supper, where it is engraved upon the front of our communion table, at the front, in front of our pulpit. It says, in remembrance of me. Again, the humanity of Jesus. This do, as often as you do it, in remembrance of me, the Lord's Supper. What do we want when we pass from this life? We want someone to remember us. We want to think that our life counted for something. That once we leave, some bit, some piece of our lives would continue on here. The resurrection helps us find meaning, even in great tragedy. No matter what happens to us as we walk with the Lord, the resurrection gives us hope for the future. There's a very familiar passage, comes out of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11, where through the prophet Jeremiah, God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." How many of you out there listening to this message realize that if there's no hope, there's really no future? God says, I know the plans I have for you. And I'm going to give you hope and a future. That will carry us through whatever tragedy, whatever trying times we face. Because we all know life has those mountaintop experiences where things are all sunny, the skies are all blue, life is good. But we also know that life brings with it valley experiences where it seems dark, where the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We know there's some days that are not good. Even in the midst of those situations, God says, I've got a plan for you. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us hope. The resurrection assures us that Christ is alive and ruling his kingdom. You understand that Jesus is not just a fairy tale. Jesus is not a myth. He's not a legend. He's not someone contained to nice stories that you read to a child at bedtime. He is the risen Lord. He is the Son of the Most High God. He's part of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And he's ours. He's our God. He's my Savior. And the resurrection assures us that Jesus is alive and well. What's the vernacular? Large and in charge. Jesus is there. And he's alive and real. Do yourself a favor. Might be Amazon that you would find it on, or some other bookseller. But there's a book by a gentleman by the name of Lee Strobel, A Case for Christ. Lee Strobel was an investigative reporter in the Chicago area. Was not a believer in God. Came to a life-changing experience. Came to a realization that he'd been walking the wrong path. and became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Part of it through his investigative journalism, looking into the matters of Jesus and his life. A Case for Christ. You'll want to read that book. God's power brought Jesus back from the dead. That same power is available to us so that we can live for him in an evil world. You don't have to look too far to realize that this sure isn't the Garden of Eden. All the challenges that show up on the nightly news. Man's inhumanity to man. Earthly calamities, earthquakes, wars, all these things. It's not like the old song said, what a wonderful world. The world's evil. And you'll find the conversation in coffee shops, not when they're locked down during the pandemic, but you'll find the conversation at lunchrooms and with people at work, with your friends, that the world seems to be in a death spiral. And it's not getting better. But God, in his infinite power, brought Jesus back from the dead. Friend, that just doesn't happen. But Jesus came back from the dead. And God gives us that power through a relationship with Jesus Christ so that we can live for God in this evil world. With all that's going on around us, we can be light in a place of darkness. You know, Christians can look very different from one another. I encourage people today to look around the parking lot, look from one vehicle to the other, and just take note. We come in all different sizes, all different heights, different talents and abilities, different skills. But we also have widely varying beliefs. Christians can have varying beliefs about politics, lifestyle, even theology, the study of God. We don't all read from the same page. But there is one central belief that unites and inspires all true Christians, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. If death ended it all, enjoying the moment would be all that matters. Do you remember the song? Slow, plaintive. Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friend, then let's keep dancing. That goes way back. But it's got a message. There are people who will tell you now you've got to be very much in the moment. And I understand that line of thought. To be more aware of what's going along in our lives, what's going on around us, and not just to let life pass us by, but to be aware, live in the moment. I understand that. But there are other people who only live for the moment. And there's more to life than that. If death ended it all, if when you came to the point where you drew your last breath, and death was the end of everything, then enjoying the moment would be all that matters. But Christian people, Christian believers, know that there is a life beyond the grave, that our life on earth is only a preparation for our life that will never end, eternal life. Honey, this life is not the destination. This life is the journey, and we're just passing through. We are just passing through. There's an old gospel song says, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. Well, that's the message. It's not just living for the moment. But there is an eternal life to live beyond this one. And what you and I do today matters for eternity. And in the light of eternity, sin's a pretty foolish game. Satan seemed to be victorious in the Garden of Eden. He also seemed to be victorious at the cross of Jesus. But God, I love those words, but God, but always signifies there's a change coming. And in the situations of life, the circumstances where it seems there's no hope, where things seem impossible, but God is what brings us hope through those situations and time. God turned Satan's apparent victory into defeat when Jesus rose from the dead. This thought has crossed my mind. Do you think Satan understood what was going on? He definitely knew that Jesus was the God-man, the Son of God. There are points in the scripture where it tells you of conversations they had together. Do you really think Satan understood what was happening when he planned all this time for death to be Jesus' ultimate finish, a painful, torturous death? And he felt that he had secured victory, that he had killed the Son of God. And then Jesus rose from the dead. Oh, I like that. I like that. Scripture says when he died, Jesus descended down into hell. Why did he have to go to hell? Because he carried your sins and mine. He was paying the price for our sins. He died on the cross for you. But Scripture tells us he descended into hell, took the keys of sin, death, and the grave, and rose victorious on the third day. That's what Easter's about. That's the message we carry. That's the hope that we have. So death is no longer a source of dread or fear. Jesus overcame it, and one day we will also. And the law will no longer make sinners out of us who cannot keep it. Death's been defeated, and we have hope beyond the grave because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Friend, the resurrection is important. The resurrection is important. And that's what Easter's about. It's not about just a family get together and a nice meal. It's not about the Easter egg hunt with children, although those things are fun and enjoyable. It's not about chocolate bunnies. I don't know how we got that far off track. Easter is about the resurrection of the living Lord, Jesus Christ, and the victory that he won on our behalf over sin, death, and the grave. And we have life, we have hope in and through Jesus Christ. It's all about relationship. Really, when you think about it, when you boil it down, relationship's everything. You can't just know about Jesus. You need to know Jesus. You need to know the gift of eternal life that he made available. The reason that he died. It's because he cared for you and I. A relationship with Jesus is everything. You may be out there today and say, well, I've heard what you've had to say. Some of it I caught was interesting. But I don't think I've got the relationship with Jesus. I don't know what that's about. Jesus died to take the penalty for our sins. To pay the price that we couldn't pay. We couldn't come up with enough to pay that price. And he paid it for us. And he says, I'll come into your individual life if you would ask me. If you'll invite me in, I'll come. We can confess our sins to Jesus. And Scripture tells us that he will come in, wash our lives clean of our sin, and make us a new creation. He'll come in to be a part of our lives, to help us walk and talk in a fresh way. The old ways will fall behind us as we press on forward in a new life and relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, I don't know if I want to really do that, Steve. I don't know if I want to commit to that religious thing, you know. It seems a little boring and dry for me. I'm sorry. Have you been listening? Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Where do you get boring out of that? I am really convinced that people who tell me the Bible is boring, that the Christian life is boring, are people who have really not experienced it, haven't read the book, haven't lived the life. Perhaps right now, you're sensing something within you, and you're saying, I think I need to move that direction. I think I need to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I lead you in a prayer? I believe that if you pray this prayer with sincerity in your heart, Jesus comes today to wash the sins of your life away and to cleanse your life, to live a new life with him. You could pray a simple prayer such as this. Maybe you want to repeat it after me. Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins and come into my life today. Help me to live for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you've done that today, if you've prayed that prayer sincerely, I believe Jesus has come into your life. And you're beginning to get a sense, just beginning to get a taste of the new hope that is there for you. A hope that reaches beyond this world, and it leads us to an eternal life that is to follow the life that we currently live. I'm Pastor Steve Green. If you've got comments, you could send them to pastor@hilltopchurch.ca. That's my personal email here at the church. pastor@hilltopchurch.ca. I'd love to share a conversation with you. If you've got some comments about the service, this message, I'm all ears. God bless you. This Easter Sunday, I pray that you have a wonderful week and that you'll meet us right here again next Sunday, Hilltop Church. If you're in the area, join us at 11 o'clock on the parking lot. We're going to do drive-in church again. From the comfort of your car, tune in the sound through FM 90.3 on your radio dial, or you can drop the windows and we've got sound and speakers out in the parking lot. We'd love to have you here. Hope to see you soon.